that we're looking for. These are the reward picture. These are the righteous life, the spiritual love, the sinlessness, the holiness, and the rewards that come from all of this. God does it, dear people. Don't try to do it by your labor. Do it by faith. Trust Him to do it. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal and your entire wall of precious stones. That's your life under the new covenant. And I will do all these things. You don't do it. I will do it. Verse 13. And all your sons will be taught for the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness, you will be established. You will be established. You don't have to bring it about. I'll do it. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Now, what is John saying in 1 John? Where there is love, there is no fear. So if we are now walking in the love of the new covenant, there is no fear. No, I don't see all of these things happening, but I have a promise, and I'm not in fear. I know they will be produced in me. All right, verse 15. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Now, verse 16 and 17 is powerful. God made Satan. God made evil. God made all of these things, and therefore, all these things that are happening, yeah, He made them, but let's see what's going on. Look at verse 16. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of cords, of coals, and brings out a weapon for its work. I, God, created Lucifer. I, God, created Lucifer and gave him his weapon, that's law. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. God did that. How could God do that? How could God have make the Satan and create this weapon? I did that. Oh, people, don't stop there. There's a weapon out there, and there is a destroyer out there. But look at verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Do you see it? I let Satan come. I gave him his weapon of the law, but it isn't going to prosper against you. God, you gave him the gun. You gave him this weapon, but it'll never be used against you. Okay. I don't know why you did it. I don't have to. All I know is it won't be used against me. So many people, God did this and God did that. Yeah, but it'll not be used against you. That's a promise. Live under that. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is your heritage. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Not from law, but from me. Chapter 55, stay with faith. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, that means I'm bankrupt, I have nothing to offer, I'm in the flesh. You have no money, buy and eat. How in the world can I buy when I have no money? How can I eat when I have no money to buy bread? Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. How can that be? It's a covenant, it's the new covenant, it's the original covenant, it's grace, it's free, it's by faith. You don't need anything. Verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? That's working under law. And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. even though you have not a dime or a penny to you. This is the new covenant. This is the way I want you to live under the new covenant. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. That's the new covenant. It's a covenant of life. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That's the new covenant. If you'll come under this covenant, everlasting covenant, original covenant, Abrahamic covenant, covenant of peace, new covenant, your covenant. But it's a covenant of grace and faith. Don't try to make it happen. Don't go back to the law. Don't go to Hagar. Don't force righteousness. Don't force these things. I'll give it. Trust me. I gave you salvation, didn't I? Simply by faith. You didn't give me anything. Now, I give you a new covenant to live under. That's all I want you to do, is trust me. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, David, if you went with David, if you were a friend of David and traveled through David's life, people, there's nobody, man, this guy doesn't deserve anything. Man, I was there, I was his buddy when he went over and grabbed Bathsheba while he was still married, when he caused the censoring of the people, when he had all those other women, when he did everything over and over. But you know what I saw in David? He kept coming back. He kept coming back. And you know what I saw in David's God? If God kept taking him back, giving him grace. That's the covenant. David functioned under the new covenant. Verse 5. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, a nation which knows you not will run to you. What's that? That's the church. We're not in Israel. We're the Gentiles. We're the dogs out there. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, a nation that knows you not will run to you. That's the Greek, the time of Christ. Because of the Lord your God, even the whole, by the way, that's the children, that's the offspring. That's the many sons. You're the many sons of the barren woman, Jesus Christ. For he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will bypass, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Your thoughts are law. Here are your thoughts. Here are your thoughts. They're law. If you're good, good things. If you're bad, bad things. Those aren't mine. Get into my thinking. On his grace and faith. Okay, let's continue. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You're not going to see him without the Holy Spirit, people. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What's going on here? We know from Job, you know why God sends the rain and the snow? God, we know from Job that God sends the rain and the snow so that you and I have to stop and see his work. We stop and look out at the window, look at all the rain, I can't go out there and work. Look at the snow, I can't go out there and work. Which, by the way, nobody should live in conditions of horrible snow. That's a little parenthesis. I can't do anything. All I can do is stand here and look at the work of God that's going to cause what? The grass to grow, the vines to grow, and I'm going to have bread and wine because of the work of God. That's why he sends the snow and the rain. Do you understand that? Whether you believe it or not, do you understand what I just said? Now you'll understand the next verse. Now you're ready for the next verse. Verse 11. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. Okay? Now watch. The rain and the snow, it caused me to stop from working. because I can't work out there in the rain and snow. Take it in time, which is written. I can't work out there. I have to stop and watch God's work. God's work comes to the earth and makes the bread and the wine grow. Now look what it says. And so shall my word be. What does the word do? By the way, first we have to find out what the word is. So shall my word be, which goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now, what specifically, in context here and in other places where my word is used, do you know what it's referring to when it says my word? The gospel. It's not talking about the whole Bible. Because a lot of this is not his word. A lot of this is the word of Lucifer and the word of man. But my word, and I said, if we have time, I'll take you on that little trip. My word is the gospel. Now, what does the gospel do? If you just take my word, that my word means and refers to the gospel, I could show you that if we had time, but I'm running out of time. But my word is a technical phrase for the gospel. What does the gospel do? The gospel is like the rain and the snow. It causes me to stop. It causes me to rest. I can't do anything. That's what it is the gospel does. I can't do anything. I've got to accept what he did, what he brings forth. I can't work. So is my word. So this is what it means. So is my word, the gospel. Be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Anyone who believes in it, it's going to bring forth children. The gospel is going to bring forth children without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Redemption. Reconciliation. This is why he sent it. For you will go out with joy. That brings us right back where we left off, or where we started in Galatians. Rejoice, O barren woman. And you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, covenant of peace. The mountains and the hills will bring forth into shouts of joy before you. But all the trees, these are angelic figures, will, trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrrh. These are things that happen if we try by law as opposed to trying by the new covenant. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, and for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Okay, so what we see now, let's go back to Galatians. I'm almost through. Go back to Galatians now. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. But all that we've taken a look at now, look at verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman. Now I hope this starts sinking in. Who does not bear, break forth in joy, extend your houses, do all these things. You are not in labor, you're not working for it. For more are the children of the desolate, that's the barren woman, than the one who has a husband, that's the law. Verse 28, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. So what I want to show you is, he's not talking here about the new covenant. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant and how we're under that. The Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant are one and the same. Verse 29. But as at the time he who was born according to the flesh, that's Ishmael, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's Isaac. So it is now. Those under law will persecute those under faith. This will always happen. Those who decide to live by law, by the covenant, their covenant is the covenant of law. And you can always tell them. They are always judging, maligning, controlling those who desire to simply live by faith. These people will leave those alone. These people will not leave these alone. They seek to persecute, judge, and control by their covenant. You can tell which covenant you live under day in and day out. If you judge and try to control, you're under the covenant of law. If you live by faith in the Holy Spirit and He produces this righteousness in you, you know you're living by the covenant, by the new covenant. It's a very important phrase in dealing with verse 29. But at that time, as at that time, so it is in the church, he who was born according to the flesh, making it happen, law, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now. Now verse 30. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. Okay, no reward walking under law. Now, I want to tell you something. If we were studying Galatians, not only are we seeing the new covenant as the original covenant, but every one of us have, this is you, every one of us have inside of us, we have the bond woman and we have the free woman. Every one of us. We have the old man, that is the flesh, working inside of us. This is the one working. This is the one laboring, working hard. And every one of us have the free woman. That is, every one of us have the new man. Every one of us have the new man that we are in Christ. This one is the heir of all things. This one will die and receive nothing. This one will pass away. When you and I die, or the resurrection, or the rapture, this one is dropped off. This one is not going to receive anything. This one is going to receive the heir. If you understand that, look at Galatians 5. I just want you to be able to read and understand Scripture. Verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh, that is the bondwoman, the son of the bondwoman in it. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. It means every member of the human race, every member of the body of Christ that's here. Every one of you, something here gets you. Look what it says. Which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Being a Christian is not going to inherit the kingdom of God? No. We all have something in those groups that identifies us. What does it mean? This does not inherit anything. This is gone. This will be dropped off. This is the bond of the free. This is the one you want to live by. This is living under the new covenant is compatible with doing what you are in Christ. Living under the old covenant, the Mosaic law, is compatible with your flesh. Okay. Let's continue reading now. If you see that. Verse 31. So then, believers of the church, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. The Abrahamic covenant is the original covenant. This is our covenant. And we can look at it as, listen, going back, we're under the Abrahamic covenant. We're under the new covenant. Why? They are the same covenant. They're not different. They are the covenant of grace. They are the covenant of love. They are the covenant of life. They are the covenant where God does the work, and all I do is trust Him. He promised a Messiah. I trusted, and I was saved. He promised the Holy Spirit. I trust Him, and I have the righteous life. I have all those precious things produced and flowing out from me by His doing. Dear people, don't switch covenants in your life. Don't switch covenants. Don't go back to the old covenant to make it happen. And you'll be tempted to, and you'll be forced to by other religious Christians. You're going to sin. You need to get back to law. You need to do and work hard. And see what happens? That's it. We need to get you back. Don't. That's what Abraham did. I've got to make this happen. It is not happening. It is not happening. It is not happening. I'm not having a child by this barren woman. I'm not seeing these things in my life yet. That promise. But if you trust me, walk in the Spirit, I'll do it. And that will give you many more children than the children of the flesh, the children of the old covenant. You're under the Abrahamic covenant, you're under the new covenant. They're the same. That means walk by faith. Visualizing your mind. I picked this up working out over at the gym. 3 steps. As I saw it, I thought, the spiritual life. First thing they said, visualize what you want your body to look like. Visualize what you want to be like in Christ. Righteous life, spiritual love flowing, sinlessness, holy, these things that image of Christ. You visualize it. Then the next thing for us is hope. I have a hope of that happening. First I visualize it, then I have a hope of those things. I have a hope of that righteousness. I have a hope of that. And then the third thing for them is to work and be patient and stay with it. And so it is in the Christian life. Walk by faith. Trust Him. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to try to make it happen. But I don't see righteousness happening. I don't see love happening. I don't see these things, and I want to see them. So I'm going to make it happen. You know, if I get my children and I get myself and get this society back under law, we can see it happening. Just like Hagar and Ishmael. People, you're not going to hear with all that where we're headed in our society is not the new covenant. We're headed for even stronger law. People are seeing more and more immorality, perversion, homosexuality, all these things that are bad, and they don't want it, and the solution is law. We, the church, must control people. We have got to get back in control. You're not going to hear very many people say, we need to get back to trust. We need to get back to faith. We need to get back to the new covenant. Because they don't trust it. I trust what I can do. I can make Hagar pregnant. I can make a son. I'm not so sure God can. Because I don't see Him doing it. What you don't see is the work in the faith. You will walk in faith, people. It will happen. Promise. Because it's the Holy Spirit doing it. Not you and me. Let me take the communion now. I know I've gone a long time, but I had to do this. I hope you see why. I had to do it in one shot. I had to take you through Galatians, Psalm, Isaiah in one shot so that you could see it. And I hope you do. If you have any questions, please let me know. We'll try to make this rather steadily fast, and then we'll break and get the restroom, and then we'll eat together. Gentlemen, is it going to serve? We have two elements. We have bread in the cup. The bread is the bread of comfort. Someone has died. Someone is leaving. That's Jesus Christ. So we break the bread of comfort. I comfort you in this death. It represents the death of Jesus Christ. Then we have the cup. It's the cup of encouragement. It's the encouragement of a new life and of a new covenant. These are the pictures of what we see going on in these two elements. Every church develops its own traditions in regard to the communion service. Then ours is that we ask you to hold the bread until everyone's been served, that we might fellowship together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new covenant, and thank you for this ritual that brings us to our forefront of our mind, the minimum of once a month here, brings into mind very vividly how we're to live. What happens if we live this way? We praise in your Son's precious name. Amen. In remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until all have been served, that we might celebrate together. Will you please stand? In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the new covenant. How grateful we are for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we are, Heavenly Father, his offspring, because he took our place on the cross. It is our desire, Heavenly Father, and our intent to live under this new covenant, to walk by faith, and every time, Heavenly Father, when like Abraham, we will be tempted to drop back into the law, to make things happen that we want to happen, to make righteousness happen, to make love flow, but we can't do it. We will fall and become enslaved. Thank you for revealing these things to us. And thank you for being a God that even when we do that, we can come right back to this covenant by faith. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for your Spirit for this morning, opening up all these passages of Scripture and showing the interrelationship of all of these things that we might see and understand and live. And now, Father, we pray that you will sanctify the food that we're about to partake of for the body, as you have sanctified the food that we partake of for the soul and spirit, to the nourishment of our bodies. Pray, Father, that you will sanctify the fellowship we're about to have together, talking and eating and enjoying each other for these few moments. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. We invite all of you to stay and eat with us.